Good morning. Let's turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. A few things out of public reading. Jehoshaphat was a righteous king, wasn't he? A good guy. One problem he seemed to have was maybe he had a tendency to want to get along with everybody. A little too much. Went along with Ahab. What we read last week is, you know, he said, hey, isn't there a prophet of Yahweh? And so Micaiah came forth and he told what was going to happen. Now somehow Jehoshaphat still goes into battle after that. How'd that happen? Peer pressure? Want to get along with Ahab? And then Ahab even takes it a step further and says, oh, you make sure you wear your king's clothes. And I'm going to, you know, fly under the radar here because make sure I'm not the guy who dies in this battle. And Jehoshaphat goes along with that. People are weird. Okay, sometimes we call that enabling. Sometimes whatever term you want to put on it, okay, you're putting yourself at harm seemingly to help somebody else. You're not helping anything at all. So there is a time, brethren, to say no. There are times you can be too nice. Now, Scripts is going to define what real nice is, so I use that in quotation marks. But, you know, you think about it. The parable of the 10 virgins. 5 had stuff, 5 didn't have enough. The 5 who didn't have enough came and said, hey, give us some of yours. No, we can't. And that's the right thing. You can't do it for somebody else. Jehoshaphat couldn't make the right choices for Ahab. Now, Jehoshaphat almost lost his life there. He cried out, and God protected him. And, oh, by the way, this random arrow just happened to get Ahab anyways. Nobody's going to thwart the plan of God. God says something's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it seems to me Jehoshaphat learned his lesson because Ahab's son Ahaziah has a plan to join together and so he says, no, not willing to do that. Yeah, that's good. Looks like he learned his lesson from that. But God's plan is going to be carried out. I really, really, really appreciate the Sunday school class was, I really enjoyed that this morning, just some to think about some things that I haven't really thought about before. And I'm sure that all of the young people enjoyed their Sunday school classes. You know, I sit in here and enjoy the adult Bible school class and appreciate Mr. Simpson's preparation on that. But there's a lot of young people that go into different places, and we just want to let you know we appreciate all the teachers and what you're doing. Kids benefit from that for sure. And then the stewardship was that's a beautiful thing. You know that word, fellowship, sharing, contribution. It is a contribution. And there's a really important thing here, guys. And sometime, Lord willing, I'm going to be doing a series on Wednesday nights, take a little detour from break from John, and we'll come back to it, but on the kingdom. But one of the things about fellowship, like you, for there to be fellowship, you have to come with a contribution. That contribution was brought. That doesn't have to be. There are times we receive, and there are times we give. But you can't be just a taker and have fellowship. And oh, when you give, too, you get. It's the way God has it set up. That's just a wonderful point to bring up. And then, Roger, your Lord's Supper meditation was awesome too. It really goes along with the theme of Romans, guys. When we think about faith, what is faith? And what comes through in the book of Romans, the big picture of faith is this. Faith is really what Roger said. It's allowing God His plan for your life. It's you stepping into that plan and you carrying that out. Hey, one thing about it, Ahab, God's will is going to be done. I mean, we're going to get to Romans 9 here sometime. And we're going to find out, hey, you know what? There are vessels for honor and there are vessels for dishonor, but God's will is going to be carried out. Faith means we actively, joyfully, our eyes are open to see God's plan and we willingly step into that. And we trade away our plans, our desires, our life for God's plans, God's desires, and God's life. That's what faith is. And it is in that context, it's those people that think God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's what the book of Romans is about. So, when we're going through the details, don't get bogged down in the details. There, this is God's plan. This is God's dreams. This is God's desires. And we are buying into those and stepping into that and being a part of that. Romans 6 does have everything to do with that. Romans 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through immersion into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise Your great name. Father, we're thankful for Your perfect plan. We're thankful for this process that You have in our lives. That Your plan is for us to really be new creatures. Not configured to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind and Your transforming power into the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we're appreciative for everything that Christ has done. We're appreciative for what He continues to do as our High Priest, as our Advocate. We're thankful for both the mercy and the grace that we find. The mercy to understand that our failures don't have to define us, but the grace is the strength to be able to actually overcome. We're appreciative for that. Lord, we're thankful for the crucifixion. We're thankful for the resurrection and the ascension, the life of Jesus Christ. And Lord, in Your beautiful plan, You have designed this for us to be participants in this with You. And we really, this is a faith issue. We get to see if we really believe this. And really, that's what our Christian lives are about. I ask that You be with me today, Lord, as I preach Your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that each of us will be really motivated to be alive to You in Christ Jesus. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. You know, I'm not going to go there this morning, but we could go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I actually did want to say one thing. I'm coming back to this quickly. I did want to say one thing, Mother's Day. It's been mentioned, the church is our mother. The scripture puts a lot of emphasis on moms. And ladies, I want you to listen up for a second, because the faith of your children will largely come through your faith. You look at what Paul says about Timothy. He's confident in Timothy. His confidence in Timothy has to do partially with his confidence with Timothy's grandma and Timothy's mom. That faith had been given to him. He was confident. It was in Timothy as well. Ladies, you have more of an impact on the lives of your children than anybody else, and whether or not they're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm not letting the guys off the hook here. We know that God holds husbands and men accountable, but But the scripture is really clear. The primary purpose of a lady in terms of her spiritual, of a mother, I should say, in terms of her spiritual significance to God, is the number one priority that you have is to bring your children up as disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture is talking about when it says women should be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith, love, and sanctity with self-restraint. This is a process of you making disciples. And don't for a second underestimate what that is. I can tell you, just personally, my mom, huge, 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 huge impact in my spiritual life. So, ladies, we appreciate you. And the church is compared to the mother. God's the Father. And God is a good Father. And I like to think of myself as a good dad. Most of the time I think I'm a pretty good dad. But I'm tough. And I'm not always the nurturer type. And there needs to be the nurturing. Guys, one of the reasons the Lord provides the church is for the nurturing. And so we want to remember our role as the church is the mother. Now, of course, with that we're one flesh, if you will, with the Father. So we're not running contrary to His plan, but this is a part of God's plan to perfect all of us. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms and to the church. Let's be the mother that God made us to be. All right, back to Romans 6 and Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37 is a prophecy of the church. And this prophecy of the church, this comes to life. This mighty resurrected army. God breathes His Spirit in, and those that were dead come to life, and they stand on their feet, this resurrected army. Now, brethren, that's how God sees the church. I got to admit, sometimes my faith picture of the church grows a little dim. And I have to come back and, hey, God's right. God is right. This is who the church is. Now, for that to be a practicality, guess what? I have to buy in of who I am in this body, don't I? We saw not everybody member of the body has the same office or has the same purpose or has the same function. But every one of us is going to be a resurrected soldier in this army. And if I don't see myself that way, I will not be fit for war. I will end up being a casualty in this spiritual battle. That's the reality of it. So Romans 6 is talking about the individual, the particular part, for me and for you at a personal level, grabbing this picture and getting a hold of it. We've talked about immersion as the beginning of our new life in Christ. It is the beginning. And Romans 6 is referring back to it. It's a reminder of. So, you know, sometimes I think that immersion can be emphasized because nobody talks about it out there, and everybody wants to avoid the purpose of it. And so maybe sometimes for the remission of sins, and you know, but I don't know that it can be overemphasized when it's properly understood, because it goes right along with God's work in our lives. This is where this work begins, and there's a reminder to it here from Romans 6 to Christians. This faith picture. This is where we enter into Christ, where the old man dies. We talked about crucifixion last week. It's a painful process. And there is a natural tendency to run away from pain. Brother, some of us are running from pain. Some of us are avoiding dealing with some things we need to deal with. And, you know, I said last week, burying the old man is not the same as ignoring. And that's true. If we want to be like Christ, we got to be willing to let Him go all the way with us. He doesn't have an intention. God has no interest in turning you into a nice person that looks good. Not God's interest. His interest is turning you into a spiritual warrior. resurrected soldier in his army. You want to be nice and well-behaved and know how to tie your tie right. I noticed I didn't tie mine right today, but I didn't feel like going back and doing it. There are lots of places that can get you to look right on the outside. The Pharisees were pretty good at that. That's not God's interest. God's interest is not just having a nice family. One time, I was traveling with my dad, and we had been with his family. I said, "Man, that's a nice family." I said, "The church needs more nice families." My dad said, "No." His dad said, "What the church needs is more spiritual revolutionaries." And he's right. God is not interested in just a nice family. God is interested in Jesus Christ living in you and living in me and us turning this world upside down for Him. That's His intention. And if that's not what you signed up for, then it's not the doors of these buildings, but the doors of the Lord's church are open, and you can detour any time and take an exit any time you want. Because this is what Jesus' intention is for you. I think we realize that. We are immersed into Christ. We came with that intention, the old man dying. Hopefully we understood what we were signing on to. And we did that. We said, "Lord, we want You to change us." Now, there might be moments we don't want Him to. I brought up that illustration last week of the thing with my knee. And while there's something noticeably good going on, I'm all for it. When there's something that I don't seem to be connected and it really hurts, it's like, "No, please, no." Pushing Him away. And sometimes some of us are just putting stuff off. We need to go to the dentist and we're not going. It's going to hurt. Crucifixion. Painful process. Sinners done away with. Buried 6 feet deep. There's a reminder there. There's a reason. Immersion is not arbitrary. Every person has to be able to go back and know the old man died. You have to be able to visit the cemetery, if you will. My mom's been dead for quite a while now. And there are still times I miss my mom. There are times I still want to call up my mom. Today would be a great day for that. There are times it would be nice to be able to shoot her a text. And now I know my mom lives on because spiritually, but in terms of our analogy here, I can't go visit her. Because the picture that the Lord is giving us in reference to the old man, that old man is buried 6 feet deep. Don't try to make the phone calls. Don't try to make the texts. Don't try to go make the visit. Gone. I remember Mr. Dobson talking with him recently. We know Mr. Dobson's arm. He doesn't have one. But man, he gets pain. And that arm that's missing right here, it's just ripping it apart. They call that phantom pain. It's from the nerve stuff there. Those nerves in him are still alive somewhere in there. He's feeling it in something that doesn't even exist. But guys, spiritually, we gotta quit answering the call for the phantom pain. God wants us to understand. Okay, when that old man calls up, and even if sometimes you do answer, don't let that define you. That is not who you are. That's the old man. He died, buried 6 feet deep. Don't let him define you. That's dead to sin. The second part of this is even more important. That's alive to God. You know, the reality of it is that what's torn down is never nearly as important as what's being built. You know, Roger was talking about we can read our Bibles and we can come to church and we can all these things. But if we never buy into the purpose that God has in our lives, we'll never be alive. The emphasis here is alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are a part of this. And living by faith means God doesn't force any one of us into this. God has this set up. We are willing participants in it. We have to be. If we're not a willing participant, we're not in. You know, construction sites. It's amazing to me how fast stuff gets torn down. I drive by. I got to admit, I don't really notice that much when I drive. I have a tendency to be on autopilot. I go. I pay attention to the lights, I think. I haven't been in any accidents. I don't run into other vehicles. I do pretty good. Unless Julie's with me, I get distracted and she thinks I'm a bad driver. But that's another story. But I think I do good. But I do find myself on autopilot and I don't notice anything. But if I am with Julie, she notices everything. Makes me wonder how she can be a good driver when she notices everything around. But she notices everything. And she, like recently I was driving, she's like, wow, they tore that place down fast. I was like, oh yeah, there did used to be something there, huh? I didn't even know what it was. I just know they tore it down fast. But they're not advertising what used to be there, are they? The signs are for what's coming. Because it wasn't very long ago that this whole Shiloh Crossing was a project, right? And I'm a skeptical kind of person. I thought, there's no way that thing's going to turn into anything out there. That's the way this into town. They're not going to get, you know, who's going to drive all the way out there to... But I remember all the signs coming up, and now that place is always busy. But advertising for what was coming, for what was being built. And, you know, it's the same way for us as Christians, guys. Our focus can't remain on the old man. You continue to look in your rearview mirror, what are you going to do? You're going to crash. Checking it from time to time is a good thing. But your eyes got to be focused on where you're going. You got to pick that line and go with it. If your whole goal is to be without sin, where's the focus? Sin. And self. I've probably been there. I've certainly known it's easier to see in other people. I've known brethren who, you know, that's... To talk about, oh, you know, overcome sin. Yeah, I. It's like, wait a second, something's wrong there. The focus is still self. Okay? By nature, okay? You're sinning as you're doing that. Okay? So that's not the focus. Okay? The focus is on being alive in Christ Jesus. There's a scriptural principle, super important. You can't just quit doing bad. You got to replace it with what's good. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is a smart guy. He knows the way things work. As you know, it's interesting when you most of us here I think have really searched out the science of creation. Everything that's taught out there would lead you to believe that there is no God, or at least that the Bible, if there's no way the Bible could be true, the six-day account of creation. But when you actually get into science and you see it's like, you know what? This makes perfect sense. Okay? Now, the social sciences are really messed up. Okay? But actually, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the social sciences, the things that they know are true, this has been right all along. God knows what he's talking about. So any science or social science that tells you something different than what the Bible says is wrong. No reason to pursue that. The world's solutions are going to be no solutions. The solutions are right here. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus says, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last day of that man becomes worse than the first. That's the way it will also be with this evil generation. I think it's pretty true of our generation. But the point that Jesus made on a personal level, if we don't replace evil thoughts with good thoughts, and we just don't think about that pink elephant. Whatever you do, don't think about it. Whatever you do, don't. What are you going to do? You have to replace evil thoughts with good thoughts. Negative words. You gotta quit being a jerk the way you talk. The scripture does say, put away abusive speech from your mouth. Okay. But just say, okay, some of us, we still got foul language. It's really not representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. We gotta change that. But what are we going to do? It's not going to be enough to just quit. We're going to have to find something to replace that with. And the scripture gives us some particulars in reference to that. See, if we don't replace these things, guys, there's a huge void. What Roger was talking about using his analogy a little bit. I don't trust myself not spilling on my Bible. But if we don't fill that up with something good, and we have this one of these empty ones that's up here still, what's going to happen to that empty one? Stuff's going to come rushing back in. Call it the vacuum principle or whatever. Stuff's going to come back in. And so we got to replace, we got to fill it with the things of God. People in our day, unfortunately, are coming out of the closet. Why would we want to come out of the closet? Why won't we clean the closet? Let's clean the closet. And then let's organize it. But if you're like me, if I clean the closet and I don't have a purpose for it, you shed, whatever, you cleaned it all up, and you don't have a purpose, and you're not organized, and you don't go and particularly put stuff in there, guess what happens to that closet or that shed? Or storage rooms in the church building. They accumulate junk. All the stuff you don't want anybody to see. Hey, kids, clean the building, it's Friday. People are coming in for assembly on the Lord's Day. Shovel it under the bed. Dad's checking the room. Mom might remember to check under the bed. Dad's checking to see if he cleans the room. Under the bed. We gotta clean it, and then we gotta fill it with the right things. And this is true, certainly, in our Christian life. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Because the Word of God is tremendously encouraging. And it paints a picture for us of who we are. But along the way, there are verses in here that should scare you. There are verses that should scare you from the dangers of falling away. So here's one for me. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 20. 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. It's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. If we get into Christ, we get immersed into Christ, and then we don't, with the help of the Lord, because the Spirit does change us, doesn't He? We have a responsibility. You read it today from Romans 12. We have a responsibility to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. But we know the Holy Spirit, He working in that. If we don't actively engage and by faith participate in this and have the changes take place, all that old stuff comes rushing back in. And if that old stuff comes rushing back in, it comes rushing back in multiplied. The last state's worse than the first, and that eternal last state is not a good place. I don't know how much you guys think about this, but hell seems pretty bad to me. How can hell be worse for somebody than somebody else? Well, if you knew the way of righteousness, and you were in this way, this good way of righteousness, and then you fall away, and you end up in eternity in the lake of fire, what are you thinking about the whole time? What you woulda, coulda, shoulda done? What you had? You never know what you got till it's gone. Everybody's on this old music today. Be pretty bad. This is a big deal, guys. We gotta lock in. We gotta be alive to God in Christ Jesus. The problem with these people of 2 Peter 2, which includes, by the way, false teachers. Primarily, that's where it starts from, actually, is the false teachings there to justify and promote this behavior. But the problem is, the bad was never replaced with the good. God's interested in us locking in. Well, we're not going to get to that, some of those particulars, till next week. I've mentioned this before. There was a song. I know I'm getting old, getting up there in terms of music, but any of you ever hear the group a cappella? Okay, so it was I think it's Church of Christ group, actually. Okay, that did some pretty cool music. It's all a cappella. But they had this one song, and there was a lot of good songs. They had this one song that talks about I can't get my mind going on the whole thing, but there was this line in there. He taught me how to stop doing those things. And my dad had us change the words to that. So he taught me how to start doing good things. That's important. You can't just stop. You got to fill it with what's good. So, you know, the purpose. Purpose puts power in living. You know, Roger was saying, we can have this thing. I'll take my chances here. Here, let's put it down here. We can have this thing, and we can read our Bible every day. And we can come to assemblies every time. Which, by the way, guys, I would encourage you, come to the assemblies. Yeah, opportunity. Yeah, opportunity to encourage one another and to give. But we could do that. And if we don't get the purpose of God in our lives, we still got voids. We filling up some of that time, but we're still not alive. Purpose puts power in our life. What's God's purpose for you? God's purpose for you, is it just to, you know, He wants to rescue you and save you so you can make it to heaven, so come and sit in the pews on Sundays and hopefully Wednesday nights and you slide in safe into home base? God has a purpose for you. Talk about the beginning. He wants you to be a spiritual warrior in His army. He has a purpose for you. That purpose does include actually being able to go and help other people make it to heaven. Seeking and saving the lost. Because Jesus did come for that purpose. Scripture says it. Scripture says Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. That's why Jesus came. Why do you think Jesus wants to live in you? And it's not just preaching with words, because you can preach all the words you want. Jesus picks on the Pharisees. He says, you guys travel around the world to make one proselyte. You make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. So don't misunderstand me. Evangelism is not just Bible studying with somebody. It's leading somebody to Christ. Bible study is a part of that. An important part of that. We can't teach them apart from the words of truth. But we ought to be able to lead people, don't we? So, there are purpose. We live for Christ. Doing everything to please Him. A few years back, Marshall Harbor had this quote on Facebook. I like it. He said, when Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, they have all kinds of time to do the things they aren't supposed to be doing. That's right. God wants us to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. God wants us actively engaged in this process of building up His kingdom. So, you know, I want to ask you guys something. If Christ came for the purpose of seeking and saving the lost, and Christ lives in you, do you have a purpose in that? So what are we doing personally? Maybe some of us, we're not ready to lead a Bible study. Maybe some of us, we say, I look in the mirror and I don't want anybody following me right now. Because that's going to be the blind leading the blind. That's honest. That's where we are. What are we doing to take the steps to be an active participant in this? That's the question. Because if we're not working on somebody else, if we're not going to war, if we're just trying to save our own hide, you're going to lose. It's an amazing thing that sports, take something like football. And when guys get hurt a lot of times, is actually when they're not going 100%. It's you're going half speed, three quarters speed. When you're going to put the hurt on somebody else, you stay healthy. When you're afraid of the hurt getting put on you, you get hurt. Spiritually, you understand what I'm saying. God made us to go and put the hurt on somebody else. To help, really, on somebody else. We got to be actively engaged in that. If we're not, there's this void. And that world comes back in. And guys, you read your Old Testament. In case you can be blind to the power of this culture that we live in right now, I'll just say this. If you underestimate the culture of this world, look at children that you know that have even been raised in the church. Thankfully, we've been blessed. We got a lot of good children that have been raised in the church here that have made it. But you know, there's a lot that haven't. The power of the culture. You still don't get it? Read that Old Testament. Why did God want those pagans completely put to death? Because if you don't, they will become a snare in your side. And they did. Those things are written for our instruction. So, brother, let's step up. We'll talk next time about being alive to God. But what God's destroyed, it's good. Aren't you glad that you're dead to sin in Christ Jesus? But what He's building is even more important. Being alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's stand.